We got it.
Mother's Day.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to start with 242 in the garden. First and last verses, 242. Promise 148. I'll read the first paragraph and we'll read the next two in unison. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband, Joseph, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Reading together.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Even in Lenny, you probably get a better meal today. This is something to celebrate. We have prayer requests. Prayers for Jackie's brother as he's recovering from major surgery. And he's been through a lot. He needs a lot of prayers. Prayers of joy for James and Corbin as they will soon be reunited and have time to be together as they both heal.
Amen.
Healing prayers for Karen and wisdom for the new doctors. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Charlie and I, and all who battle Parkinson's. Prayers for our cancer warriors, Christina, James, and Nancy, Roger, Crowboy. And I'd like to add a name to our cancer prayers. One of Charlie's caregivers, she's only 32, I think. I just found out that she has cancer and she's been to Brigham and Women's and the Dan Father. So it's pretty serious. She was a nice young lady. Prayers for our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And George needs visitors, if he's there. You gotta call first because he might not be there.
Well, he said likes, a good time to call
he
is
likes
9:30
to be on
the
band. Okay, continued healing prayers for Trent, Barbara, Faith, Grace Bradway, Trish Baldina, Buck Rich, George Greenland, Kit, Phyllis, and Sandy Johnson. Do we have any more? Did I see any more? Yes.
Lowen has respiratory cold again.
Oh, dear. Well, let's pray for Lowen. Yeah. Maybe else.
Just prayer for my brother to get a handicap apartment. So just continue to pray for that. He's in need, real need for that.
First of all.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes.
Is that your cousin?
Your cousin?
Oh, he's
what's your name?
Lauren.
Lauren? Okay, we'll pray for Lauren.
Prayers that Barbara Tessman will be accepted into Wayne Day upholster. It's a really fine place, and James has recommended it because he has a friend who was even worse than Barbara, who's now walking, talking, and doing for herself. And all the barriers are really moving, and she can put in her nurse.
Okay, now we have dates to remember. Every Sunday, 9 o'clock Bible study in Nikki's room. Wednesday, you got prayer at 6:30, Bible study from 7 to 8. Thursday, we have choir practice, 6:30 to 8. May 26th, farmer's market begins. New hours at 9 to 12. We need vendors. Talk to your friends. Tell them to come. It's a wonderful time.
We need some farmers.
It really is. Not big, mostly because we make a little money. It's the camaraderie. It's getting together and visiting with the townspeople.
Yep.
And it's very enlightening.
Yeah. And they're waiting for us because Peter had a tag sale and three or four people asked, when's the farmer's market?
Stop. Oh, good, 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 good.
Signs up. No, that's good.
And we got something coming. Children's one day a week of summer fun. Meet the Bible Stars, Tuesday, July 10th through Tuesday, August 21st, from 6:30 to 7:45, ages 3 to 15. And remember the Strawberry Missions Festival, coming June 23rd. Inspirational speakers, music, fun pie auction, great food, wonderful fellowship. And we have, of course, Strawberry Shortcake. Mm-hmm. Any other announcements? Gail?
May 20th, which I think is next Sunday, Holland Congregational Church is having a Filipino night and a missionary to the Philippines. He came on Wednesday night a couple times here, and he's from Holland. And they have invited anyone who can go to the Filipino night and have at 4:30, right? And have a dinner and a presentation of what's going on in the Philippines. And it's really amazing the work that they do. And but we do have to tell them the number of people that are coming. So if you do want to go, I mean, it's a great time to network with the town of Holland as well. See our brothers and sisters there. So. Let Pastor Elaine or us know, and it's at 4:30 next Sunday, so probably 6:30 to 7.
So we have another fundraiser, but it's not for the troop. But the troop is very, very deeply involved in this. This is to raise money for the War Veterans Memorial. So we are selling pens. It does say the truth on it because we're, like I said, we're deeply aligned. There's purple, red, gray, blue. They're $3 each, or they're 2 for $5. So this all goes, every bit goes to the War Memorial Park down the street. And we'll also give you information. You can buy a brick. It can be very specific on size, the wording, and it can have a specific seal for Army or Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, or Coast Guard. So this is all the war memorials will be moved down to where that house used to be at 5.
Three and five.
So see us at any time. Just let me know if you don't want it today. We'll also be, the whole troop will be at the transfer station on the 23rd to sell these. But see me anytime about the pens if you'd like to purchase. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I just wanted to remind people about the raffle for the quilt that Sue has made. The tickets are over there in the class at Target. If you are able to sell some tickets, please just sign out the numbers that you took.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I like Mother's Day. One of those days where you get to recognize the folks that work 24/7, 365, and they're multitaskers. I don't know too many mothers that aren't. I have been blessed with strong women my whole life along the way. And I know some folks don't have great mothers, but that's the great thing about coming to church. If you don't got one of your own, there's always enough at the church that are willing to take in adoption. So if you've had a bad mother, don't leave here today without getting a hug from somebody, because they're here and they got lots of energy to share. We get together and we honor mothers. You're going to get to see the men sing Faith of Our Mothers. I wish Terry was here, Jean. Terry always enjoys it when we take a traditionally song that talks about men and switch it up so that it says women too. But as we come together today, it's always good to be in God's house, always good to be gathered together. Gives us the opportunity to share in fellowship, gives us the opportunity to be renewed and lifted up. And it's an opportunity to put on the armor for the upcoming week. So join with me in prayer. Father God, we come today and we're always so happy to be gathered in your house. Always so happy to be part of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Always happy to be in a little town where we come up to the white church and get calm from the storm, get renewed. Go to that safe place, Lord, where we can fellowship with you and with like-minded Christians around the globe. We thank you and praise you for this day and for every day. We thank you for the opportunity to come in and share in fellowship with one another and share in fellowship with you, Lord. Give us the opportunity to get away from the heat of everyday life with all the distractions and all the commotion. And we can come in here, Lord, and feel your hand on our shoulder, feel your sweet touch, and hear your voice and the prayers of all of our brothers and sisters, and sharing just God's pure love. We come today and we gather together as always to be healed and lifted up, to have our minds open to new possibilities, and for have us to have a chance, Lord, to hear in the quiet your voice. And now, Lord, as we gather together, we come together in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Says in 1 Peter, verse 3, chapter 7, he says, Likewise, husbands, dwell with them accordingly to knowledge, giving honor to the wife. The Bible says in Ephesians, Let every one of you in particular love his wife even as he loves himself. We honor mothers today, and there's a lot of mothers in the Bible that we could talk about. There's examples all the way through. And this high school, junior high science teacher lectured on the properties of magnets for an entire week. Next day, after he had finished, he gave his students a quiz. The first question read like this. My name begins with M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Half the kids in the class wrote mother. You know, it's always interesting. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said that men are what their mothers make them. An old Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a young man named Timothy today during the service. And God groomed Timothy through his mother and his grandma. Yeah. His mother and his grandmother spent the time. You know, that a lot of folks don't have the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom. And, a mother says by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. So if you're a woman and you've never had a child, you get like 3 months a year off, I guess. one of those things. But yeah, mothers are an amazing thing. Mothers can be the mother, mothers can be the doctor, mothers can be the teacher, mothers can be the father when the father travels. I was career Army. A lot of times the mother had to be the father along the way. And vice versa. I know men that raise children and they get to be the father and the mother. There's all types of examples in the Bible of mothers. You know, you picture of Moses. The mother of Moses cared so much for her son that she broke the law and then cast him out in a basket. I remember my little granddaughter Sydney was in Mrs. Jetty's class probably, and she came out and I said, how was class? And she said, you know what? They took baby Moses and put him in a basket and threw him out in the water and he didn't have swimmies on or nothing. There's a lot of mother's love. You know, you read about the mother of James and John who loved her son so much, she wanted to make sure they had a special spot in the Lord's kingdom. So he asked Jesus, you know, can my sons have a special place to sit next to? There's a lot of things that mothers do and grandmothers do along the way. And I know that I went from having 4 grandkids to when Elaine and I got married, and I got like 13 of them. And grandkids have a special place in that mother-father relationship world, where when you're a mother or a father and you've got a child, you're working and trying to balance that career along the way. So you're stretched out a little far. But when you're a grandparent along the way, you get to do all those fill-in things that you didn't get to do when you were a mother or a father. So today, as we celebrate mothers, the roses are for you, ladies.
That's
a rose ceremony. So we're gonna do the morning offering. The ushers will come forward and receive the morning offering. And the offering that you give here is important. It supports our ministry. But the offering that you give every day when you step up and do that little extra thing, like selling pens for the veterans fund, or spending time helping somebody else along the way, or reading to a child, or spending time on the telephone or on an email, sending out a message of love, those are important acts of service and important offerings. We'll now receive the morning offering.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, your love makes me sing, hallelujah.
Each week, so blessed to return just a small part back to you, Lord. We thank and praise you for each day that we hit the ground, Lord, that we stand up, take that breath, and know that that was the day you've created just for us, just for us. We thank you, Father, that you're a kind and loving God, that you provide us with all the things that we need, that you've given us an abundance and a blessing that we can share with the whole world. That you've given us a gift, Lord, that we can give away and give away and give away and still have an abundance to share. Bless these gifts as well as the giver. Help to multiply, magnify, and utilize them in our service, Lord. Make us wise in our dealings so that we can expand your ministry. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't, Ellen, did you ask these folks to collect?
Yes, she did.
You couldn't have picked a better tool for Mother's Day. What's better than a mother and son coming up front and, you know, in service together? If you know Paul, you know that there was a lot of good work done on this side. Paul loves the Lord and shares it openly with everybody along the way.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, go back to your seats now. God bless you.
We're done with you.
Oh, except Donna. You can't go back to your seat. You need to come up here with all the mothers. If you're a mother, y'all come up front. All the mothers come up front. Line right up along the front there, alphabetical by height.
Alphabetical. See, no, you're Kay. I'm over somewhere.
And all the men turn to 692 and the hymnal.
Here we go.
Hang on there, Kim. We've got to give further instructions. Our men are a little slow. 692, all the men. And we're going to sing Faith of Our Mothers. Howard's been practicing, him and I have been practicing over England. Faith of Our Mothers. Okay, Kit.
All three?
All three. Let's go walk. Now, ladies, we're not going to hand you out those picky roses that are behind you, because I know you'll be distracted from the sermon. That and you'll be like when we give out palms on Palm Sunday, somebody will wind up with an extra earring hole in their head from somebody else whacking them. So make sure you pick up your rose on the way out. There's enough roses. And y'all may be seated.
Go, Mom. Mom's upside down is wow.
That's pretty good, Charlie.
I stole it from Jackie's. It's not a mom.
I thought Charlie fucked that up all by himself.
Stop it, I'm saying.
Good job. All the children, come down front.
Aduda,
Aduda. All the children, come down front.
All the Aduda day.
Double time. Help. Go knock your mother's over and come down.
That's right. That Joel Jetty guy's going to be doing the children's service, and he made sure to pack it with his grandkids.
I need some new glasses. Good morning. I had one of the best moms ever. Grandma was a great grandmother. I believe that God, when He made moms, all our moms, was trying to show love. He was trying to show the kind of love that He has for us. That special, special love. And He tried. He did a great job because He created your moms. We just love you so, so much. And it's a special love that it's unselfish. It lasts forever and ever. It's always kind. And it's that special love that's just for you. Because you're their children. Today we honor mothers for that kind of love and understanding of us. And sometimes we're hard to figure out. Kids are kids. We're all our kids at one time. They teach us about life. They teach us about people. About most everything. We spend a lot of time with our moms when we're young. And as we all grow older, I pray that you continue to spend some time with your parents, with your mother. It's a special, special time. Today and every day, take time with your mom. Truly know she is a gift from God to you. She's your mother. You only have one mother. That's a special gift just for you. Tell your mom today and every day, I love you. And make her feel special. Because a mother never gets tired of hearing those words. Mom, I love you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for all mothers around the world for it. I pray that you bless them, Lord. I thank you for these wonderful children, Lord, to come to Sunday school, Lord. I thank you for their mothers who bring them here, Lord, and their families, Lord. I thank you for loving us, Lord. I thank you for the gift of mothers, Lord, to this world, Lord. It sure would be a tough place for all mothers. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are dismissed.
Thank you. Is Hannah going to say?
Oh, Hannah Grace.
Come on up there, Hannah Grace.
Yes.
Continue service with 635. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. 635. First and last verses.
Read on, brother.
This one of the scriptures is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Second reading comes from 2 Timothy, verses 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying of my hands. 2 Timothy 3, 15. And how from childhood you have known the sacred readings, writings that were able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Joel.
Draw them in prayer. Father, we come each week and we ask that you come and lay hands on us, that you open our hearts and minds to new opportunities, to new things, Lord, that you have placed on our hearts that we can do for you and with you. Help us, guide us on our mission. Help us to give us the faith that passes all understanding, Father, that faith that lifts us up, that comes from our soul. The inner urge that we have, Father, to do that work, to share that message. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thessalonians, interesting, it talks about, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cares for her children. And being so affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart on you not only the gospel of God, but share from our own souls, because you were dear to us. You ever run into somebody that's really passionate about a subject that not only can give you the book answer, but can share the emotion with you of that subject?
Amen.
That can share that feeling, can share that you can not only hear the word, but feel the word, and feel the intensity. Mother's Day, they use a lot of different scriptures on Mother's Day. I want to talk to you about a grandmother, a mother, and a boy. Timothy was a young man that had Paul's heart. Paul saw him and saw the opportunity to take a young man and continue to mold him and bring him on a trip with him. It was a young woman named Eunice. She was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother. Her mother's name was Lois. Eunice learned to love the stories from the Bible when she was young, and she enjoyed learning, going to services where she could learn more about God. And her mother kept her in the Word, and as she approached her teenage years, she was focused on spiritual matters, and then, like a lot of young folks, she became attracted to a young man. The young man was a good man, but he wasn't into religion at all. And so they were married. She was married the person against the wishes of her mother. And she went and got married, and he was a nice guy. And the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And the Ten Commandments say, honor your father and mother. A couple years after they were married, Eunice had a baby boy, and they named him Timothy. And the little boy was born, and a little while after that, her father passed away. So both grandmother and mother lived together. They brought them in, kind of like whales. Sometimes we all cohabitate as life goes on, and you bring the family in together. And both grandmother and mother continued teaching Timothy with stories of the Old Testament, and praying with him, and training him in the things of God. And they didn't have a problem because they didn't have VeggieTale videos or DVDs or anything else. They had stories to tell them. And I watch my grandson up in North Adams, and I watch AJ down here in the Flatlands, and I watch Elaine work with other little kids that are around that'll listen. Because if they're around for a while, and we all want a break, Elaine makes sure that they've got a story to read. And the little kid, I don't care how much technology is going on, the little kids love the story time, sitting with grandma and listening to the words. And they pay attention to the words and repeat them back to you as they go along. It's funny, as my own children got bigger, they still want to be read to at night. And most of you know me well enough to know that I have lived a lot of things on the way through. But those kids had heard the story so much that if I changed them up, they'd stop me and go, "Dad," and then my grandkids go, "Poppy, that's not how it goes. That's not how it goes." And I thought of Paul and Donna when they came up front, because I'm sure that, you know, your grandmother Paul read to you, and your mother read to you, and, you know, I can picture you as a little kid with them reading something, and, you know, it could have been your grandpa Stu decided to read you a story, and, you know, and you probably said to him, "Grandpa, Poppy, that's not how that goes. That's not that story." Because little kids are like a sponge. They absorb all that stuff, and it becomes part of their DNA and part of their structure. And that's why the scripture says, "Raise a child up in the way he should go, and they will not change from it." You may think they did. Kids take a lot of detours in life along the way. I know I did, you know. And but as time goes on, you go back to the things that you know. So they kept raising him up, and one day a preacher named Paul came to the town of Listeria and spoke about a man named Jesus. Both Lois and Eunice listened intently. And in Paul, they saw Jesus as the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament. And they placed their trust in him and were converted. These new believers turned focused on teaching Timothy all about who Jesus was. We know from reading the book of Acts that Paul himself took a personal interest in the teenager, and partnering with his mother and grandmother led him to a saving faith. I've been blessed to mold and manage a lot of folks in my life. You know, as a recruiter with the military, you know, I've got young men and young women that I'm still friendly with. And time clicks off. You think you're not making a difference. But one of the young guys that I enlisted when North Adams State was more North Adams State and not Mass College of Liberal Arts or whatever it is now, I enlisted this young man and three of his friends out of the college up there. And he came in and he worked for me for a while. And he just put on Facebook a picture of his basic training picture. And he said, "It's funny how time goes by. I just finished 30 years in the military."
Wow.
And I thought, I don't know how that happened. I'm not that old. I'm not that old. 30 years. He just finished 30 years in the military. I enlisted when I was still active. He was in college. He's got kids that go to high school that play sport with against my granddaughters. And you know, my granddaughters are headed towards high school now.
You were 18 then, though, or 19?
I was probably my 12. Close to 30. I felt 12. But it's interesting how you impact and how that footprint doesn't stay. You know, and he and I are still friendly. I visit with him. Matter of fact, you know, I just sent him a listing and said, "Hey, there's a new soldier's coming in. They're looking for a condo. I got one for sale in one." But you impact your children and the other folks. Lisa, you got scouts. You know, someday you'll be older like me, and you'll see on Facebook a picture of these little scouts that were at your house, and you'll say, "I don't know how they got that old. I don't know how that happened." But they remember the things along the way. Remember Howard talking about being an Eagle Scout and how the program has made an imprint on his DNA. Mm-hmm. And so his daughters share part of that imprint because you teach the things that you know and love. Mm-hmm. It's important that you teach the children and teach your friends and family and continue to grow them, because children come in all ages and all sizes. You can find them 30, 40 years old that are new Christians that are children of the faith. And you need to work with them and impact them, because you'll change the world. You'll change the world around you. Now, I like it, Mai, when you come with your kids, because you fill up a whole pew. You come in and you fill up the whole pew. But all those kids come, and Joel, you should be proud, because every one of those kids have got a little bit of Joel along the way, got that impact battle along the way through. You know, and Jane, you've got a pew full. You brought grandkids along with you. You bring them. They came from the time they were little tiny. And now they're still not great big, but they're not little tiny anymore. So what happens is, and you see it in the story of Lois and Eunice, it takes three things: a respect for the scripture. The first thing a mother or grandmother can do is teach them respect for the scripture. Chapter 3, verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Right. Tell your kids the truth. Yeah. Some days going to school and going to work and going wherever you're going to go, if you go to church on Sunday and people say, "Can you take a Sunday off?" and you say, "Well, I can adjust my schedule around that," they're going to say, "Well, you can take a Sunday off. It won't hurt." You got to believe what you believe, and you got to stand for what you stand for. One of my friends posted a flag on the site, and one of their daughters came back and made a comment that she was shocked that she post something, and she came back and said, "That's my flag. That's the flag of the nation. That's what we stand for." And you know, I was proud at the words, because sometimes we let folks, particularly our own family that we love, slide and get away with things. They don't have to be mean to them and yell at them, but you need to tell them you're disappointed. You need to tell them, "That's not what I taught you to believe. That's not what I taught you to talk like." You know, people's speech patterns are bad, and sometimes you'll run into folks. I know, being a pastor, people apologize to me for a lot of stuff on the way through. They'll be talking to them, "Oh, pastor, sorry." No, that's career argument. You can't hurt my ears too much. But I like it in the respect that they are aware enough to think that they can alter their pattern or be sorry for it along the way. You know, and as a mother, you do that stuff that you teach them on the way through. You hear in Timothy chapter 3:15, "And now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. You are able to make wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ." And that's what you want your kids to be, is wise. To make wise decisions. To be able to go to counsel of like-minded Christians and ask for help and assistance along the way. Because I got a clue for you. Google's got a lot of stuff, but it doesn't have the answers on how to live life.
That's right.
It doesn't have the answers on how to make Christian decisions.
That's right.
You know, whenever you're looking up something that says Wikipedia, you might want to look up Wikipedia, because that's not Webster's dictionary. Wikipedia is somebody's impression of what the answer is, not always the truth. These two mothers had the Word of God on their heart, and they started early and kept right on teaching their children. They also brought in outside influences. They were open to Paul coming in and preaching of the risen Lord. They were open to the new possibilities that have been broadcast and looked for in the Old Testament. And they realized the truth. They instilled an authentic faith.
Amen.
An authentic faith. That's where you not only say the words, but as we used to say in the military, you not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk. That's important enough to you to vary your lifestyle according to the things that you say. That's that important. And that'll impact not only your children, but the world around you. You need to be sincere. You know, it's one of those things where you talk to folks, and there was a note on that I put in here. We got some folks that are going to want to be baptized this year. So we're going to be doing a baptism. you got somebody else that wants to be baptized or rebaptized, see me, see one of the deacons. It's going to be the time. The water's going to warm up, trust me. It's going to get warmer. It's already as warm right now as down here in the flatlands as ever going to be up on the hill. So we're ready. But there's a conversation that one of the other pastors that I read his information that he puts out. It says, a pastor had a long conversation with someone about becoming a member of the church. And they were visiting, he asked the young man if he was ready to join. And the young man said, yeah, I really would like to be a member. I'd like to give my life to Christ. And the pastor said to him, what convinced you to join the church? I think he was kind of hoping that he said,
it was your sermon, Pastor.
But what he said was, it was nothing I ever heard anybody say. It was the way my mother lived.
Oh, amen. That's funny.
Yeah. And that's the kind of faith that's passed from mother to son or grandmother to son or an older lady or another lady that role models the behavior that you know you should be watching. Because mothers, whether they're biological mothers, grandmothers, stepmothers, surrogate mothers, might even be a babysitter. Sometimes we shoot our kids off to folks for daycare, night care, and all that type of stuff. And sometimes if we're smart, we put them into a godly person's hands where they're more concerned about the children's souls than they are their clothes. A children's eternal life rather than success in this life. A children's relationship with Jesus rather than the popularity in the world. You know, we sing what a friend we have in Jesus, and then we're worried about our Facebook friends and our BFFs and all this stuff. Best friend we've got is Jesus.
Amen.
You know?
And he won't unfriend you.
No, this is true. Their children standing in their social status, their children's spirituality rather than their intellect, musical, or athletic accomplishments. Yeah, I'm guilty of that myself. I always thought my grandkids were the fastest, best athletes that were on the face of the earth, that they were going to grow up to do wonderful things. And some of them have, and some of them are still looking for that place to fit in. But the important thing is they're grounded in the faith. They know that when they've got a problem, they can come back to the church, they can go back to prayer, they can come and see Grandma and I and my brother Roy and all the rest of you folks here. They know that when the storm in life gets too tough, they come in here and the storm stops. That the storm stops. Karen did me that picture where I was in the middle of a circle, and it says that sometimes it's wise for a leader to know when to stand in the middle of the circle and let the storm be protected by the folks around him than it is to be out in front taking all the hits all the time. I still got that hung up. There's a lot of truth to that because my kids, you know, people will call me and say, hey, I'm going to go get a job. Can you pray for me? Well, you can pray for you too. Well, I'll pray for you. But they're all grounded in the faith. You know, your family environment affects a lot of folks. You know, it's one of those things, folks have different needs. And, you know, if you haven't talked to James working his way through, getting family back together, looking for an apartment and stuff along the way. And we try and help him, but Rich has taken him into his house and give him a safe place away from the firefight in life where he can go, where it's okay for James to be James. And at the same time, you know, they're there to support him, to get him the doctor's appointment. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I have a Jeremy, I have a Justin, I have a Juliana, and a Jared. So we just added
that Jay. That's it.
Jay Power, brother.
That's it. Jay Power. Jesus Power. There you go.
And you're a rich man, right?
Okay. Right on top.
But along the way, you're going to impact other folks' lives. I watched Joel over the years bring folks in that didn't have the skill sets that he was really looking for, but he'd bring them in and let him work with them along the way. Because he was building more than a carpenter. He was building a young person's life and giving them things to hang on to that they could carry the rest of their life with them. Know that you're not only here just for a season. Mother's Day shows you that you're here for a reason.
Amen.
Your reason is to be that difference maker along the way. You know, I I've been blessed to be adopted by Phyllis along the way.
Yeah.
And I went to Phyllis's birthday party. Now, if you ever get Phyllis, all of her kids to show up. All of them to show up. You need a big place. Because Phyllis's kids took that verse of the Bible that says, go forth and be fruitful, and they ran with it. But when you watch that crew, the anchor that they hang on to, all through them, and she's got good daughters, and she's got good sons, and she's got a lot of good folks, but she's the anchor. She's anchoring that boat and has anchored it since they all came into being. She anchors it for the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. Now, I don't know if you got great-great-grandchildren or not, but that's the anchor that they hang on to.
And it's going to hold.
So as you celebrate Mother's Day, celebrate all the virtues. The last thing that the two women caught Timothy was a desire to minister. Help instill them a desire to minister. Paul preached in a Listeria. Timothy was converted, came back for a while, went and back in Acts. He comes back to Derbe and then to the Listeria, where a disciple named Timothy grew, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, her father was Greek. And she installed the qualities in Timothy that made him be able to be a minister. And your kids may not stand up here and preach a sermon, but they might be the integral person that brings other people that are their age and their, as they hang out with, to Christ. They may be the people that come and they may not preach a sermon. They might play the organ. They might sing. They might bring other folks into the vacation Bible school and say, come on, my friends are running vacation Bible school. My mom's going to be there. My grandmother's going to be there. They always got food. They always got food. There's going to be a type of ministry that they are able to bring folks into. I know Hannah Grace is going to tell everybody she goes to school with that they can come with her one night a week and go, because AJ's coming, so Hannah Grace is going to come, and all these other folks are going to show up. Raise a person that's a minister. Raise a person that has skill sets that they can share. And make sure that they know that if they don't know what their skill set is, that's a good thing, because they can come and hone their skills here in God's army. Because there's a place for everybody in God's army, and they will find that skill set that'll last them the rest of their life. So, I'm going to close by reading a poem. You don't see many bald-headed army vets do this, so we're going to give this a whirl. It's called My Mother. Your love, I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You walk through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity to do His will, my highest call, and by your special care. I could not, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet care, you helped me through each day. You showed me how to give, to share, and put my own needs last. You've helped me to see and be aware that life will soon pass. In spite of your love, I would not dare, for there's not another way who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. And all God's people said,
amen.
We'll close with
656.
656, and then be prepared. Don't put your hymnal down, because we have a responsive benediction. 656, make me a blessing, first and last verse. parting challenge. Joel, if you'll read the first paragraph, and Howard, if you've got your glasses and can read the second light paragraph, everybody else will do the dark parts.
Okay. Go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
With God's help, we will.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.